Welcome, friends, to the Grace Hour. It's a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Jason Moore, and I am joined today by Pastor Bruce Wright in the studio. And today we're going to be talking about overflow. And it's been a great week of broadcasts, and very excited about this theme because I think it's so important to understand the exchanged life and the overflow of the Spirit. And just before Pastor Wright talks here, just to think that a life statement, Pastor Wright, that's been in my mind from our founding pastor is that as we minister to God, the overflow goes to people. So today we're going to be talking about what it means to intake, have a healthy intake, and not to have an outtake that's greater than our intake. We're going to talk about retention, what it means to retain and have a relationship with the Word, and then, of course, ministry to people. So we have a huge playing field today. It's just great to be with you, sir.
It's good to be with you, and this subject of overflow or, you know, pouring out. I like that phrase, which is really kind of historical with some great missionaries that we know. You know, broken bread poured out wine. You know, it's the kind of idea that you know, we like Christ who gave Himself for us. We are to give ourselves to others, and you know that can be a tall order if in fact, like what we're going to touch on, if the supply is less than the demand, which is how natural life really is, then I don't have the resources or I don't have the capacity for the needs that I see. And this is where a believer can really get frustrated because he understands that the Lord Jesus Christ is supernatural in his life. He's understood the peace of God that is, you know, umpiring his heart. And you know, he has this incredible blessing of grace. But when he looks out in the world and he sees the incredible need, we sometimes forget that it's the same Christ that has resolved our, you know, our offense and our sin and our lack that will meet that need in other people. Instead, people, what do they do? They bring up a substitute. Okay, if it's psychological, then it's like, you know, let's rationalize, let's go back, let's investigate your life. If it's emotional, let's give you some sedatives. You know, so these are things that we see the world trying to resolve the world's problems, but the world doesn't have the right diagnosis. And if you don't have the right diagnosis, you'll never have the right prognosis or the right solution.
Absolutely. I think, like you said, our source, I love what you just said, the supply and demand. We can so much get into details even before our heart is right with God.
Wow.
We can get into so much natural thinking and problem solving even before we know God's mind, right? And then we don't have these divine resources. I'm thinking, Pastor Wright, of Psalm chapter 23. I love this thought about overflow because how easy it is to be overwhelmed, how easy it is to be anxious or just live in a stress. It's because we're not living in the excess, but we're living in the deficit.
Wow.
We're living in this place of willpower, maybe natural strength. So our intake is really must be greater than our outtake. So 23:5 of Psalms, you prepare a table before me. And I love this. When you read 23 of Psalm 23, it's a great chapter, but it's all initiations of God. I will prepare a table before you. So are we eating at that table? And even in the location of our enemies, you anoint my head. There it is. We are anointed with the ministry of the Holy Spirit where we are now. And these four words, my cup runs over. I love that. Isn't that good?
Well, I trust that it's a cup and not a thimble, you know.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, depending on people's capacity. And this is where I think we need to have a balance because, you know, an individual could get overwhelmed by, you know, what the expectation might be. What? the expectation of family, the expectation of oneself. You know, I'm supposed to be perfect, and you know, I want to make, you know, a good Christian example, and these are things, you know, and I got to refer to Oswald Chambers, which I had great fellowship with this morning, because he touched on this very thing, relative to, you know, how we are not, that perfection is not the goal. Okay. And as you were mentioning how, you know, the overflow from the cup is because we have this incredible, you know, source that comes from God, and it is God's. But listen to what he says here, and I just want to touch on this because it was so fresh with me. So he cites Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, Paul says, either were already perfect. I'm not. He says this, it is a snare to imagine that God wants to make us perfect specimens of what he can do. God's purpose is to make us one with himself. So think of the fact that, you know, what's my expectation? I woke up today and, the agenda for the day was poised and waiting for me. And it does for all of us, whatever, you know, whether it's a mother at home or whether, you know, you're driving, commuting to your work, that is poised and ready. But the other reality for us as believers is that God will make use of all of that so that I would be understanding my oneness with him. And so I don't have to fulfill that as an accomplishment and say at the end of my day, yes, I had a great day. Why? Well, I got 15 things done on my to-do list. No, if the one thing that I got that has happened in my life is that I have oneness with God and I have communion, then my cup, whatever size that might be, will be filled to overflowing because God's grace will always give more than what I have need for. Because why? He wants to meet the needs of others through me.
I think this is huge because that cup you keep mentioning, our heart, our capacity, our ability to receive, like, do we have an empty cup that God can fill? Or are we too busy with our worlds and our families and our demands, which is normal Christian life? But if I'm not filled, then there's no overflow. There's no overflow. I love what you just said. Oswald Chambers, Philippians 3:12. I think of Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That's the number one thought here. So because we're in the West and have our own productive mindset, is it really progress? I mean, in one sense, not all activity is progress, but yes, we love checking the box. We love finishing things, right? Mm-hmm. But do we know God better today than we did yesterday? Are we meeting him in the situation? Are we in that place of communion? Well, that's right. I want to just kind of talk about intake for a minute. What causes our hearts to overflow? I mean, we know what deficit is, right?
Right.
We're living from a place of lack. One writer says it like this. We have positive attributes that are rooted from negative ones, which means, let's say, we grew up in a family that was poor, and that's maybe in one sense, that's a negative experience. But now the reaction of it is that we live today with a scarcity mindset. We are tight. We're not generous. We're just very analytical. Maybe we grew up and there's gambling in our homes. Therefore, there's money problems. Or let's say there was an abuse or some sort of broken home situation. So the reaction to that is we're going to protect others and or live in a state of anxiety. It's like our good attributes may stem from bad experiences. Do you know what I'm saying? So this is very real.
Well, it's from the tree of the knowledge of good. Good came is in conjunction with evil, although we don't necessarily see it. So in correlation with what you're talking about, we kind of, make a celebrity out of the workaholic, Why? Mm. Well, the guy's got, you know, he gets it done. You know, he's working 60, 70 hours a week. He's bringing in the big check. And that's so good. Or the athlete who excels in his athletics, but at what cost? You know, maybe there's, you know, like you're saying, there's issues at home. And maybe that whole thing began where, I just want to get out of my house because my house environment is not good. And so I have this drive to spend 60 hours in the gym. I want, you know, I'm a pump, you know, I'm a bodybuilder or whatever.
How many hours are you in the gym?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, like, no, it's not even there, you know. But this is pointing to. But what if I, out of liberty, which means no obligation, liberty means I am free to minister to you, not because you have a need and I have a supply, but because I am free from what, clutching, holding on to, trying to keep what I've got. And this is the blight of the church in a measure. This is why we cloister, you know, we withdraw from the world. We don't want to engage the world, but we withdraw from, because we just want to keep what we've got and hope that Jesus comes tonight and then we don't have to, you know, deal with this any longer.
Right.
Whereas the generous, the gracious believer, he gives because he understands that his source is unlimited. Can we think this way? Can we think this way? That I can give, because God is going to, you know, give back, you know, press down, good measure, running over, shall men give unto my bosom. So there's an equation in here in the way I can think that gives me the liberty to give, and we're going to get into it, without you being the return, you know, the return measure. It's going to come, but it may come from someplace else.
Yeah. Again, getting back to Psalm 23, I think we really see David saying in the first verse, the Lord is my shepherd. Mm. See, that's the source. If it's task orientation, if it's deficit motivation, where this writer says this too, they say the personas we take on as adapting or adaptations to unpleasant circumstances are not our true identities, even when they bring forth good fruit or good results. So let's say the workaholic is celebrated, but how's his family life?
Right.
Let's say I'm active in the church, but how is my personal walk with God? Like, the intake, I believe, is so critical that we have to have a massive intake, because our ministry is not, like you said earlier in an earlier conversation we just had, our ministry is not our own. We can't even control that ministry. So in my prayer life, in my meditation life, in our fellowship life with God, all of a sudden the wonder is there. All of a sudden the personal nature is a revelation to us. And then we get together with another believer, and there's just a flow.
Wow.
There's like an exchange. There's a beautiful celebration, right? Mm.
You know, I just think of it, you know, and Pastor Schaller was touching on this on Wednesday night's service about the how a child has, you know, wonder, you know, the things that we have become, you know, jaded towards. And, you know, what's a bird sitting on a wire fence all about? Well, if we think back, there are many things in our walk with God, the Word of God. We said it like this, that we all have knowledge, you know. So I know I have eternal life. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that, you know, the Bible is true and it's the Word of God. And I have this knowledge and I'm content with what I know. But I've lost my hunger for more. I don't, you know, like, okay, so I know these things and they're, you know, they, you know, I've come to this place in my walk with God. Like, I love what you were saying about, you know, the need to have that private, intimate walk, you know, which is paramount over against what I can do for God. God is more hungry with, you know, the idea that I have fellowship with him and communion with him, so that then wherever I go and whatever I do, it has that fragrance. It has a scent. And, you know, people pick up on that.
Yeah.
People, they do. They maybe not know quite what it is, but they just say, you know what? There's something about what was said. And it was a sentence, or it was like an embrace. It was so there's ministry. Ministry is never defined by, you know, how we compartmentalize it. You know, it's preaching or singing or, you know, giving or any of those things. It is like a river. It is like the
yes.
dew on the grass,
yes.
you know, it's like everywhere. And it should be that way if we are living in the right source.
Excellent. Dear friends, join us. Join the conversation.
Yeah.
Call us 800-338-7060. Chat with us on Facebook. If you're watching us on YouTube, connect with us. We want you to be part of the conversation. I love what you just said. It's a river. It's a river. You know, we think about the inner fascination. I mean, I have a 9-year-old son, and it's like awesome to see that innocent, fresh perspective when they see things that we're familiar with. Let's
wow.
be honest, we're
yeah.
complacent. We
yes,
lost
we are.
Our hunger. We're kind of satisfied with how things are. And so our overflow is more stagnant, or there is no overflow. And you know, Pastor Wright, I think we can all say we have been there, and maybe we are there today. So let me ask you, how do we avoid having a ministry from a place of deficit or a place of emptiness? You know, we're in such a feelings narrative, and it's all about how I feel. It's all about, you know, it's a self-orientated conversation. So this overflow we're talking about is so valuable. How do you practically build your your intake? Because what goes in must come out, right?
Well, we were talking
literally
about the incredible necessity, the necessity of the Word of God, and way beyond. You know, we said it like this, that you know, here's a guy who's faithful to every Sunday service. He's a good, you know, every Sunday he's in, just, so that's 52 times out of the year. And given that the average, you know, the average message in an American pulpit is like 16 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, you know, you got music, you got announcements, you got the offering, you got, you know, everything else, you know, to make up the 90, but maybe, you know, so he's got 16 minutes of the Word of God, 52 times a year. Do the math, okay? It's like a day and a half, maybe, of doctrine. So he's got 363 and a half days of, you know, cosmos that he's got to deal with.
Wow.
But we would say, hey, he's faithful. He's like amazing. He's there every Sunday. We need, not because we're in the ministry, but because we're believers, I need categorical doctrine every day.
Yes.
Every day. And so Pastor Stevens used to say, you know, you need an hour of doctrine every day. Come on.
Yeah, otherwise we're not effective, right?
We're not. We're
yeah.
operating out of that deficit. And
yeah.
so we're a needy Christian in a needy world. Needing, you know, so, but our supply is overabundance.
Yeah.
Our source is Christ, who is for the world, but he's going to reach the world through us that are still here in the world.
Amen. And just to say, it's okay to, there are seasons of neediness, right?
True.
There are
That's
seasons
right.
where, you know, things are just, you know, maybe lacking, and that's just life. But to constantly be needy, to constantly look to be ministered unto, there's something broken there. There's something broken, like we see in Jeremiah chapter 2, that there is a cistern that's been
wow.
punctured,
mm-hmm.
and we call it the leaky brain. There's something we don't have, like we said earlier, we don't have this retention from what God gave us, because there's no relationship to it. It's just knowledge. It's just facts. It's information. And I think of those numbers you just gave, I believe there's 168 hours in a week.
Mm.
So I come to church And I hear in our church, there's a 45-minute message, right?
That's right.
And we have that three times a week.
That's right.
But what's my relationship? Like, how am I receiving that? Am I even prepared to receive it? Am I even mixing faith with it?
Wow.
Am I agreeing with it? Mm. Like, or is it just going through one ear and out the other? Retention. Like, there's a real issue with retention. I mean, how many of us, you know, after we hear a message 2 days later, it's like, what did he say? You know, it's like we have to rehearse it, right?
That's true. That's where fellowship, raps, and exchanges, and, you know, even if it's dialogue in the parking lot, you know, it doesn't matter the place. It is understanding the provision, this exchange, this body life, if we want to call it that, because it is vital. But you're touching on something I think that's very, very important, and that is the receptivity of my heart. And what comes before that is an attitude of humility.
Mm.
Now, if I'm satisfied, content in who I think that I am, I'm not thinking that I have a need, okay? And that is the Laodicean spirit.
There
today.
It is.
You know, I am rich, I have goods, I have many things, you know, and I have need of nothing, Revelation 3. So that's scary, but true. That's God's evaluation of the human heart in one of the epics of the church age. So here we are. And we're looking around. It seems like everybody's got their act together. They're, you know, they're just moving along pretty good, you know, and, you know, and so forth. And so we don't think that we have need for more than what we presently have until we get in a situation that we would say, I'm in over my head. So now I'm going to open my Bible, or now I'm going to pray, or now I'm going to, you know, could you pray for me, please, brother? You know, and that's okay. Like you were saying, that's okay because I'm here for that.
Mm.
But at the same time, I need to be available to be on the giving end of that. I will pray for you. I will visit you. I will minister to you. And it's not rocket science. It's just a matter of being who we are in Christ.
Oh, you nailed it. You nailed it. I think of that verse there in Revelation 3. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, I don't know what reality we're living in. I mean, if we're, you know, that's it. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you might be rich. I mean, Laird Bean brings up a great sentence. We need to live and operate from our relationship with the grace and unconditional love of God. See, the ingredient and DNA of grace and love, wow, it goes in, it meets the deepest need, and we do not deny this is our depravity, but that our predisposition doesn't have to be our predetermination,
wow.
Which means how I'm wired or what's happened in our past doesn't have to be our destiny. So today, let's say we have a trust problem. Let's say we have a faith problem. Let's say we have a doubt problem. What do I do? There's death in the pot. What did they do in the Old Testament? They put meal in the pot. They added, the intake was healthy, and it canceled out and filled and dominated what was death in the pot.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Yeah. And the fact being that we cannot escape the death that is in the environment, the 21st century. You know, there was a recent program that was talking about loneliness, but not just loneliness, that there is a measurable increase in people who are living alone. They have, you know, they're separate from their family, or they've never got married, or, you know, and there they are. But the problem is that in the West, there's sufficient logistical support for an individual to live by themselves. They got a job, they got an apartment, and they got a house, they've got, you know, financial ability to do that, until you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? Well, you know, the interesting thing about relationships is that at that period of time in your life when you can no longer support yourself or provide for yourself, you know, you're going to look to the government? No, you're going to look to, you know, social, you need to have people who in your life are significant and important. and you can't do it alone anymore. But before you get to that place, let's realize that I can't do this life in Christ alone. I need the body. I need a pulpit. I need the Word of God. And let's face it, it takes humility to give yourself over to those things when the world is saying, oh, this is much more important. You know, spend your time here. And so we end up going there, but we have a deficit and a lack of supply for our need.
So good. So good. You know, I think that word relationship is such a big word, isn't it? It starts with the prefix of to relate. Like, what do I relate to will determine the platform for the exchange. So if I'm relating to God and who He is, then there'll be a ministry to God and from God to my life. But if I'm relating to myself and putting God in my own image, then it's a one-way street. So that exchange life that you're talking about, loneliness, for instance, that, you know, I just saw something recently, Pastor Wright, online, a very bubbly person that did the weather, and this is in another state, and no sign of any depression or discouragement. Very good at her job, very good in her presentation. She takes her life. Mm-hmm. She takes her life. And it shocked the studio so much that they were just obviously overcome because she had no signs. But inside of her, we can assess that she was projecting something that she didn't possess. She was giving something that she herself maybe didn't have for her own self, like her value. She's lost hope somewhere. She was in despair. And to think that we can project something so different than what's going on in our heart is a dangerous place to be. So loneliness, when I hear that word, we're in the holidays, and this is a great time.
Yes, true.
But it's a seriously lonely time for people. So what's the answer? The answer is, I want to fill my cup with and relate to God so I know my value, my purpose, and my eternal destiny, right?
Yeah, that and God's people. And what we mean by that, we understand what, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, the body of Christ. God baptized us, placed us into His body, flesh and bone, Ephesians 5:30, on the earth today. Reason being is that I don't see, or I can't measure my own growth. This is, you know, introspection would say, am I growing? Am I, you know, am I mature? Am I this? No. You confirm to me how I am growing, and I confirm to you how you are growing. So that requires us to being in each other's presence for a period of time, you know, that, you know, the fellowship and the exchange. So I would tell you, like, man, you know, like, you really edified me and encouraged me the other day. And you're thinking, like, well, what did I do then? You know, I mean, that wasn't anything big. You see, and I need to hear that, but I only could hear that if there's, you know, this reciprocation back and forth, you know, fellowship, as we would call it. But it's the thing that affirms me as to who I am in Christ, because I'm not going to look in the mirror and say, you know, like some self-help program, you know, you are amazing, you are astonishing, you are, you know, the greatest thing since, you know, since toast, you know. No, but if I hear what others are getting from my life, and again, it's a realization that there's that mystery. Oh my gosh, yeah, it is a mystery that God could use me. Yes, He can, and He will, and He does, and that's ministry. So let's put the M with the ministry, because all ministry, really, to the one who's ministering, it's a mystery that even happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. I think life makes more sense from the perspective of mystery.
Yes.
Right? Because what we think we know, we have no idea of it, because it's so much beyond us. It goes back to that inner fascination, right? It's that place of God making it new again. I mean, I think of this in Psalm 51:6. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. So wow. There's the mystery. It's hidden. It's like, okay, I read a Bible verse, and I maybe understand 2% of it. I think on it, maybe a couple days goes by, a couple weeks go by, a couple trials go by, a couple years go by, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm understanding that verse maybe 10% or 5%. And it's a progressive revelation that what we take in, God is building. Because I think not to overstate it, but I think it needs to be stated that our first ministry is to God.
Yes, that's
like,
true.
Yeah. Like, and this is the next question I have for you, Pastor. Like, what is the secret to a life that's serving others without the expectation of being recognized or given something in return? Like, there's a secret there, isn't there?
There is the secret of the divine economy, if you want to call it that. And what does that look like? Well, only in the Bible do we hear these kinds of statements. The last shall be first. What? I mean, and, you know, Jesus taught, you know, how, you know, the merchant, you know, the field owner, you know, went and found these men to work in his field and says, will you work in my field for a penny? Yeah, okay. And all the way through, and then there was these guys that were still hanging out, you know, chit-chatting or whatever they were doing. And he says, why aren't you working? He says, well, nobody's asked us. So, okay, listen, go and, you know, but it's only 1 hour. It's only 1 hour. So the day's done. This is so good. I mean, the day is done. And so he says, okay, now it's time to pay. Pay the last guy first. And wow. What did he get? He got a penny. So now these guys that were in, you know, 12 hours in, they're thinking, hi, God, I'm going to get some more. But wait a minute, what was the contractual agreement? It was for the same, right? It's for the penny. Then the Lord makes this amazing statement. He says, are you angry with me because, you know, I'm good?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like the goodness of God is unconditional.
Yeah.
And when I think that my being good to you deserves some kind of a payback from you, that's not God's goodness. That's human goodness. That's tit for tat. That's eye for an eye. That's like, you know, like, let's make a deal. But when it's God's goodness and he does it to the least, he does it to the person that only, well, you know, what did they do? Well, they only, you know, they only put out 2 chairs. You know, I put out the whole thing here, you know. That's the wrong equation. And we go down that road quite often.
Yes.
But what we find is that, the Martha principle, you know, I'm serving, I'm moving, I'm doing what needs to happen. And my sister is just sitting there listening to Jesus, would you tell her to get up and help me? You know, and we can all identify with that, right?
We can, absolutely. That task orientation without God consciousness, right?
Bing, God consciousness.
Dear friends, give us a call, 800-338-7060, or chat with us online. Your input is valuable to us. We want you to join the conversation. We're just having a great time here in the studio, Pastor Wright. I think this is a big thing you just said. Like, again, we can have a form of godliness. We can live in mechanics. We can do the work of God without the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the most dangerous things in our faith, that we somehow know what God's will is for the moment. And I'll be straight up, Colossians 1:9, Paul said, I'm praying that you would know. Mm-hmm. So if our relationship is in this exchange life of, okay, Lord, love me today so that, and show me, 1 John 4:19, how much I am loved, because I cannot love unless I first receive that love. So I can only love on the basis of what I've received from the love of God. So if we get this wrong side up, burnout happens, frustration happens, pressure on people happens, we become moody Christians, right? And the overflow is, and I love what you said earlier, I'm still going back to it, when we have this fellowship with God, we cannot control the ministry because it's God's ministry. That means, like you said, it could go to people we didn't expect, like to people that maybe we wouldn't necessarily spend the time with. And God said, that person is where I need you to spend some time and love and pray and reveal the mystery.
Yeah.
Reveal the mystery to that person.
Wow. Right? It gets to that, Pastor, and you know, it's important. Do I really believe that God could and would lead us in the details, not just in the spectacular moments, but in the, you know, as Oswald Chambers would say, in the warp and woof of life, you know, the back and forth, the in and out, the routine details. But let's take another look at this, and let's look at, you know, in Acts chapter 8. So Philip is in a revival amongst the Samaritans. I mean, like, things are like breaking out left and right, and he's having an incredible time. And then God says, go down the road, Gaza Strip, go down to the desert. There's nothing out there, okay? Leave a fruitful ministry. Leave, you know, where, you know, anybody would say, this is the work of God. This is amazing. This is, you know, astonishing. But Philip didn't need to know that there was a chariot that he was going to join himself to. All he needed to know was that God was leading him, and by sight, it didn't appear as if there was any reason for him to be there. But a nation was going to be changed through this Ethiopian eunuch who just so happened to be coming from Jerusalem, just so happened to have a copy of the scriptures, just so happened to have, you know, be reading Isaiah. And then he says, you know, I don't understand this, is there, because there's no man. I love this. You know, there's no man. And so Philip becomes the man in that situation. We become God's person in another person's life. And we don't even know what the backstory is so much. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We just say, I'm here, and, you know, I minister to you, and, you know, bang, out, and they go on their merry way. We don't even know what impact they have in God's plan. I would that I could, you know, live that way, you know, and part of it has to do with me being I need to disconnect myself from a concept of ministry.
Yes.
Where I think, you know, it's only here, it's only on radios, only on, you know, it's only on this, you know. No, it might just be like I had a croissant up at Panera Bread this morning.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that's what this guy.
Ooh.
So I'm putting butter on the croissant. This guy walks up to get his coffee and he says, wow, that looks pretty good. I said, yeah, and you know, it's too bad, you know, that you can't have, you know, because this is the last one. I got the last one. He says, oh, really? He says, and so how much you want to sell that to me for? I said, no, I don't want to sell it to you, but I'll share it with you.
Oh, no kidding.
And it's like, bang, he said, like, what? You know, like, it just like, it turned, it like, you know, this thing became unconditional. You know, like, who is, you know, like, who even talks to me this way? You know, total stranger.
Right.
And I just kind of think in my mind that little encounter, you know, becomes a point of conversation at home or, you know, somewhere along the line. But I don't know. I mean, it call it what it was, spontaneous, but back it up. And, you know, earlier on, and I know this is true for many believers, God, in our prayer life, God, use me today. Use me today. In Jesus' name, amen. And then you get up in faith, and you don't know how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, who it's going to happen to, but you're available, like Philip. You know, you have a schedule, you have something that you're doing, but can God say, over here, can you just, you know, encourage this person? Can you just be with someone that's going through an issue in their life? You don't have, you know, you don't have the answer, or, you know, you don't have a word, you know, but you're a listener, you're a hearer, and you're available. And you know what? When people realize that you're willing to listen to them, you're the greatest person that they met in the moment.
It's so true. I mean, think about it. We want to be the psychologist.
Oh,
we want to be the fix-it man. But really, the basic things of just listening, learning, loving, not speaking to not speaking to respond, but really listen to learn. Mm. You know, I think about when we take in the Word of God, and the Word of God is in Proverbs 24:3. It starts to fill up the rooms of our heart. Our language changes. Our perspective changes.
Yes.
Our actions change. I mean, who shares their croissant? By the way, I'm going to go to Panera with you next time. And I have a funny croissant story, by the way.
Okay.
When we were in Montpellier and Nîmes, it's been a few months ago now. What an amazing church it is. We have Greater Grace Church there. Pastor Johan and Pastor Jan as well, just to think that every morning I'd get a chocolate croissant and a double espresso.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, I feel the call of God, you know. And I said, hey, it was like warm and there's chocolate.
Are you speaking French to me now?
Nutella's pouring out of there. Yeah, what a gracious, great, gracious group of people there. But again, ministry to people. If it's from me, then it'll be regulated.
Wow.
If it's from me, I won't have time. I'm just going to minister to those people that will benefit me. But
wow,
we see over and over in the scriptures, like, can you serve someone without expectation of return? And I think if we're in the driver's seat, we will miss a lot of ministry. I think really the secret of the believer is in service. I mean, you, Pastor, mm-hmm, have it a grace. I mean, you know, you see that can I just love the person in front of me without obligation, right? Mm-hmm. Can I do that? Well, I can if I realize how much I've been loved. If I have a trust issue, can I realize I can trust God in that person and he'll give me, or he'll give you wisdom on how to handle people. You know, Pastor, would you think that there's so many starving hearts, empty minds, and carnal hands. This is like people are starving for love, the right kind of love and truth. People are starving for connection. You know, that's one thing about sin that's interesting. Why do people live in habitual sin? It's because the deepest need is not being met. So it needs constant stimuli, and it makes us more hungry, actually. Mm-hmm. And then empty heart, empty mind. There's nothing going on. The light's on, no one's home kind of principle. And then carnal hands. When we're filled with God, that equation changes. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. How do I not sin? Well, it's Romans 6. I'm dead to sin, alive to God, because I've surrendered my life, your schedule, your preferences. You've surrendered it all, and now there's a flow.
Wow.
It's a flow, right?
Yes, yes. And to be released from the restrictions that I place based upon my ability, the restrictions that I place on myself related to my ability, what I know I can do. But that doesn't require faith. Mm. It just, you know, I just show up. I know I can do this. You know, I can put in the 9 to 5. I can do this. And there's no adventure in that. There's no,
ooh,
you know, expectation of, you know, outside of what I know. But when I step out in my life by faith, I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, this is the thing that is quite interesting, as you were saying. You know, I hide, you know, Psalm 119, I hide the word of God in my heart, not just to be saved and know that I'm going to heaven, but so that I don't live from the source of sin is not the act as much as it's the nature, that I'm not drawing my priorities and my preferences and my orientation from the old sin nature's agenda. But I now have a brand new way of thinking about myself and about others that's coming from this doctrine that's in my mind and in my heart, filling it up. And like you were saying, I love, you know, Proverbs 22:17-18, you know, it says, bow down your ear to hear the words of the wise, okay, and hide them within you. They are pleasant. You know, so right away I'm sitting here and I'm hearing something from the Word of God, and it is pleasant to me. It is ministering to me. But then it goes on to say, and he uses this word wherewithal. Wherewithal, you know, after a while, those words get fitted into your lips.
Wow.
And the vocabulary changes, not because I'm trying to say something spiritual, but it's because there's something in my heart that's coming out.
Yes.
Because it's there. It's there.
That is so, I mean, so many things that are being said today. I pray that this is a great meditation for us and for yourselves, our listening audience. I think of that Old Testament story of the dear woman that was in great debt. And the man of God came, right? And he said, gather the vessels, right?
Wow.
Gather the vessels. And then he poured oil into that. And the oil kept pouring and pouring and pouring. And I think, and the debt was not only met, but there was an overflow. And wow. I think in our Christian life, we're not just surviving, we're thriving. We're not just maintaining, but we're really having an adventure. I love that. And I think we have to have a mission that is greater than ourselves. Otherwise, boredom and we reduce God into our own image, and then life becomes very religious, which wow. is tragic, that word religion, where religion has no revelation of Christ. It's all structure without a spirit. But anyway, I want to close. We have to close here, but I want to ask one last thought to you. Pace. Pace. Mm. You gave this word earlier, like with burnout, sometimes we can have a greater outtake than it is of intake, and we lose our pace, just like a runner. He's preparing a race, and there he is. He's contemplating, or there she is, and she's thinking about the laps and the endurance. And how do we finish well without burning out? How do we finish strong without being a casualty? And how does that reflect the overflow? How is the overflow connected to that?
Good night. You got another hour?
I know. I just realized the question. That's a mic drop. Oh, all right, you have 30 seconds. No, just kidding.
Well, I think there's a beautiful word that's used in the Word of God, and it's the word henceforth, or from this point forward, okay? And really, it's indicating a point of change, because prior to the henceforth, there was something going on, okay? But now, you know, from this point forward, okay, I am not going to live for myself, you know? From this point forward, I'm going to be available to, you know, be ministered to by God. So here's the thing. Before I think about ministering or having a ministry, you know, can I learn that, you know, that God wants to minister to me, love me, okay? So here comes someone and they said, you know, Pastor, listen, I love the church here. It says, so what can I do? And I said, that's fine. Thank you very much. Sit here for 6 months and just receive. Why? Because the demand, you got a domestic demand, you got a marital demand, you've got a work demand already there, okay? But how are you meeting those? If you're meeting them out of the natural orientation of your flesh, you will burn out. You know, if you came into where you are now ministering to the, you know, to the body, or, you know, you're involved in outreach or some kind of thing like that, you'll go to crust pretty fast. But the important thing is that I first have learned how to receive. Mm. And that is such a, you know, that is a humbling process. Because we all think that, you know, I got this. I'll never forget it. You know, my first Bible college assignment, right? And I went to the library and got my books, got my pad out and everything. And I had to write a paragraph on something. The page was empty for 90 minutes. I was sitting there and I'm thinking, like, I don't know how. Gosh, I don't have anything. I thought I did.
Wow.
And when I came to terms and say, no, well, God, you have to give me something. That was one step in the right direction of learning how to, you know, think with God, not just about God. And wow. When I can do that, then I'll have something from God to share with others.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. you know, we instead of burning out, we just continue burning, right?
Wow, you know, yes,
right,
yes. Afterburners,
afterburners. Yeah,
I'm at the age now, son. You know what I mean? It's like I can see. You know, give me 20 maybe years. You know, saving for a rainy day. It's raining outside.
Amen. Let's live 100% in the moment.
Wow. Yeah. There
God we go. Is meeting us in the moment. Friends, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show. And we really want to hear from you. So call us and, of course, chat with us, email us. You're a valuable part of this. God bless you. And we look forward to connecting with you on Monday. Take care. Have a great weekend.